Thank you for listening to this podcast from TRE, Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain and around the world. For more information, please visit tre.radio.
TRE in the afternoon, presented by Hannah Murray.
Good afternoon. It's just coming up to 5 past 5. You're listening to Men Talk on Talk Radio Europe with me, Hannah Murray. With me in the studio today is Sammy Dennison, Neil Topless and Andreas Gallardo. Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hello.
Thanks all for coming in. So I've got a collection of articles here on a variety of subjects. We're just going to go through them and see what everyone has to say about them. William Shatner yesterday blasted off into space at the age of 90. The Duke of Cambridge actually criticised the space race, saying that it detracts focus from addressing climate change here on Earth. I thought that was an interesting point, and also how much money it's costing. I wonder if you had any thoughts on whether it's a complete waste of time, money and climate change, or whether it was an amazing opportunity for him.
Shall I go?
Yeah, go for it.
Look, the technology is there, and there is an element of curiosity. Comparing it to the issue of climate change, I don't see the relation. They're two different things.
Mm.
To be honest, I don't see the point of just going for 10 minutes into space and come
back. It was so quick, wasn't it? I watched it on TV. We went to the news, and then we came back off the news. I said, oh, he's back down now. I mean, it was ridiculously quick.
Yeah, I mean, just to spend all that money doing that. I mean, well, I mean, if they got the money, they want to, and they've got the technology to do it, and they want to do it, it's fine. I don't see the point to it, but I wouldn't sort of criticise it.
Mm.
As I'm a liberal.
Sammy, you were saying about climate change. We were talking about it earlier.
Yeah, I mean, well, firstly, it's nothing new, really, as well, is it? For people who have the means to go out and spend their money in any way. But also, I think one thing that has been said is that for Prince William, who clocks up quite a few air miles in his time, to sort of put the focus, might, you know, on these people who are doing what, you know, to them may be the fulfillment of some sort of childhood ambition, and, you know, who knows what benefits, you know, the space industry in general might bring. They would say it's to sort of deflect, but it's not. I mean, I think it's a family thing as well, because Prince Charles also is he's a big campaigner for all these climate change goals as well. Mm. So yeah, I mean, I think I echo Andreas's point. I don't think it's really worth it for 10 minutes, you know, in space. I don't see any benefit there, but I mean, who knows? It's sort of publicity really at this stage more than anything else.
Would you do it, Neil?
What a complete and utter waste of resources and people's time.
Mm-hmm.
What a complete and utter waste. I'm sorry, I've got no time for it. If you want to buy a car with a big bonnet, and you know what I mean, why is Jeff Bezos and all these people showing off to such a degree, like little kids, when there's so much wrong with the planet that we're on?
Yeah.
Really. Yeah, I mean, it's just pathetic.
But it's private money. It's not taxpayers' money.
I mean,
you can spend your money on, you know, you could say it's stupid to have a Porsche
personally, I think it is. But anyway, I wouldn't drive a Porsche.
Well, they've got the money, they've got the freedom
to
do it.
That's fine, but at what point are we letting these people... Jeff Bezos is worth, off the top of my head, $270 billion.
Mm.
That is an inconceivable amount of money. And he's avoiding tax like the plague. I'm not a communist, but this one just winds me up. Why are we letting him do all this stuff when he's not paying his tax bill, for starters?
Mm.
Why? Why is this allowing to be happen? Why are we so anxious to pursue other planets when we could stop on this one and fix it?
Yeah.
Why are we going to Mars to possibly populate it? Let's just not screw up this planet that we're on. Why have we got to the point that the human race is so much easily... that doesn't work, we'll throw it away. Instead of, hold on a minute, and this is relationships and things and mobiles and whatever it's going to be. Why have we got to a point where everything is so disposable? and people are allowed to just really get their rocks off by doing something completely ridiculous, polluting the environment, waste of time, waste of materials, let alone the amount of chemicals that those things throw out. And it's not just about global warming, but just about the colossal waste of resources.
Mm.
Just for some bloke that was on the TV years and years ago to get his rocks off.
Mm.
Where are we as a human race?
But
I'm done.
You could extrapolate what you just said to almost everything.
Completely. Yeah. But surely there should be some sort of moral limit to how much money you can spend in the public environment without maybe offsetting by doing something good for people.
Mm.
Instead of just waving it around and saying what a big one I've got, why not? Okay, well, if you can do that, then why don't you buy a hospital?
Hmm.
In fact, that's a good deal. Buy a hospital versus space race. I mean, buy a hospital's chump change.
Mm. I mean, it does feel a bit insensitive, putting it mildly, considering the year that we've just had, not just with the from a health point of view, with the amount of people who've lost their lives, but also the amount of people who've lost their businesses, you know, the amount of people who are struggling massively
to
financially
people like
out
Amazon
of this
and
last
everyone
year
else. Exactly.
For him to have gone up into space like, twice oh, look in the last month.
Look how tall I am. For a short man,
yeah,
because I'm so high up. He's tiny, isn't he, Jeff Bezos?
He is, actually.
He's 2 foot nothing.
Yeah, interesting one. Moving on to queue jumping. Rude millennials are trampling on tradition by refusing to queue properly, with young Britons 6 times more likely to barge in than older generations. Now, I interviewed a guy yesterday for the book show who is an English man who lives in France, and he's written loads and loads of books on kind of taking the mickey in a light-hearted way of French people. But he's lived in France for 20 years now, and he said he is now one of those people. He speaks fluent French, and he's taken on the persona of a typical Frenchman. And one of the things he was talking about is queuing. He lives in Paris, and he said Parisians do not queue. And he said it used to annoy him massively, and now he is one of those people. And his kids say to him, "Dad, you can't push to the front of the queue." "Oh, I'm not standing here. I'm going to the front." And he's completely changed since living there for such a long time. Queuing's a real British thing, isn't it?
It is, yeah, it is.
After you, I'll wait here. No, I insist.
I love queuing. I personally, I'm Spanish, but I love queuing because I lived in the UK so long, and you're so great queuers that I've learned the art of queuing.
Yeah.
And I love it. And one of the things that happened to me during the pandemic with the 2 meter distance, I would go to the supermarket, leave my 2 meter distance, and someone would barge in, thinking that I wasn't in the queue.
Ah.
So I had to explain that there was
a
pandemic.
Yeah.
There's a pandemic, and, you know, I'm queuing 2 meters away from the person in front, so don't jump in. But no, I love queuing, and Spanish are the worst at queuing. We don't like queuing generally, but I personally love a good queue.
It does annoy me, people jumping into queues. Recently, I did the boat trip from Banous to Marbella, and there was a big kind of group of people. There was a queue of people. We arrived and joined a queue, and then before the boat had even arrived, people started arriving and just kind of standing on the dock instead of joining the queue. So when the opportunity to go on the boat came, all the people who were in the queue, who were standing in the shade, suddenly became at the back, and the people who had arrived late were at the front. And people really weren't happy saying, you know, "I've been stood here for half an hour, you've just arrived and you're going on first." I mean, in reality, it really didn't matter, because there was only about 30 people, so the whole process didn't take more than maximum 8 minutes. But just the idea that these people had arrived like 2 minutes before the boat arrived, and other people have been stood there for 40 minutes was so unjust to people. People were going nuts about it. I thought it was fascinating.
In any bar, I mean, in supermarkets, yeah, maybe if it's an older generation, they're quite happy to queue. But I think if you go to a bar, you see people who've been waiting. But if you wait very patiently, you just won't get a drink. I think the environment very much affects how people will behave in that environment. So I guess it, and also you got the millennials who are really part of the sort of click and collect generation, where, you know, they expect everything to be there immediately, but then they're not used to, you know, these sort of traditions of waiting patiently, and it's, you know, very urgent to just sort of get ahead and get along with things, I think.
So do you see people, your sort of generation, queuing less then?
I think so. I mean, just being in a bar, I'm from Manchester, just being in a bar and you see that the people who aren't pushing and trying to, you know, get the barman's attention or whoever's, that they aren't really being served straight away.
So that, I have to say, is really bad bartending.
Yeah,
that is really. I mean, speaking as someone who ran nightclubs and bars professionally in the UK for quite a long time, that is atrocious bartending, because your barman should have control of that. Pushing to the front doesn't get you anywhere.
The
barman should control their environment. They should have their section on their bar, and they should control their environment, and they should be serving people in order, not how loud they are. If they're loud, they should be thrown out.
Yeah.
Those are the old school rules. And unfortunately, we have moved on for some reason. I'm not quite sure how. We don't do nightclubs.
But he's got a good point there, saying that the, you know, younger generations, they are more used to getting things instantly.
Yeah.
We're all getting like that. So we are perhaps less patient than we were before, when we had to wait for things. So I think he's got a good point there.
I can't remember who did the sketch. I think it was Dom Jolly who did the sketch. When he did Trigger Happy TV, and he just stood there with a sign that said "Queue here," and there was just in the middle of the pavement somewhere in a city in London or Manchester or something, and there was nothing going on, but people saw a man with a sign that said "Queue here," and they just went, "Oh, okay, we should queue here."
It's
and
incredible.
It was hilarious. Yeah. They had no idea what or that they were queuing for, but people just queued because the sign told them to. I thought that was brilliant. Nothing more on queuing.
No, I don't queue.
You don't?
I don't.
No.
I don't do queuing. If there's a bar to get into and there's a queue, I'll go somewhere else.
Yeah, it's really annoying.
I'm so over it. And I've never been one of those people. It's not because I'm not patient. It's just I don't really see the appeal of looking into a bar, someone enjoying themselves while I'm getting cold. So I just go somewhere that wants my trade.
Yeah, fair enough. This is an interesting one. We'll just do this before the break, I think. This is talking about gender-neutral toys. A US...
Can I go first?
I think Neil might
Please
have something to say on this. So
go on, Neil.
Can we just leave it there and I'll go for it? I don't need the prompt.
I'll just read a tiny bit of the article. A US state has become the first to force large department stores to display products such as toys in dedicated gender-neutral sections. So there's obviously a girls' section, a boys' section, and now a gender-neutral section. Neil.
Why? just why?
Well, that's a great question. Yes,
the reality. I'm hoping the little light's going to go in a minute, because I want to get at least one complaint. as an undertaker, as a funeral director, and I've got a friend who is an archaeologist, we only discover men and women.
Okay.
I'll leave that there.
Okay.
That doesn't mean you have to identify whatever, but this whole gender neutral thing, I'm sorry, but as far as I'm concerned, it's people wanting to find identity and wanting to be acknowledged for something. And this is all about, as far as I see it, my perception, it's all about people wanting to be offended for something in order to get recognised.
Right.
It's an attention thing. I'm sorry. Yes.
We're going down a different path here to the toy thing, I think.
No, because what you got is a situation where a family, a parent, you know, a parent or a singular parent have decided that their child should have a gender-neutral toy. What's wrong with the way that everyone else was brought up in the history of mankind? Why have they got the right to choose for their child?
Well, I saw this, to be honest, I saw this article in a completely different way. I think the idea of having girls' toys and boys' toys, absolutely ridiculous, to be honest. When I was young, I played with Transformers.
Fair enough.
Which is seemed to be a boys' toy.
Fair enough.
And I know kids who, I've got friends who have boys who enjoy playing with dolls.
Yep.
Which also should be totally acceptable.
So why,
are girls' toys. I think all toys should be gender.
It's just toys.
Exactly.
Why is it identifying with anything apart from it's a toy? If a kid wants to, it's like if I walked one of my dogs into a you know, one of the cool, hip and trendy dog shops, and you're allowed to take your pet in there now and let the dog choose a toy. It's no, it's because the dog wants it, or the child wants it, or I want it. It's got nothing to do with the gender of it.
No.
And the, you know, things, the stupid things in life, like it used to be pink for a boy and blue for a girl years and years ago, and that all swapped around. Well, why is it? Why are people having to identify so much with all of this malarkey?
I think going back to the article, I think there must be an element of marketing there. Because the fact that we're discussing it here and something's happening in the United States is a way of the toy companies to find a spin on something that is in the newspapers and in the in society in general, and they've taken the spin to announce that they've got toys, the gender neutral and everything else. I think there's more marketing. I don't think many parents will be discussing what sort of section of the shop they have to go to.
I would actually be genuinely interested if we typed in gender neutral toy, what would come up on a screen? Because I can't think of a toy that would necessarily be gender neutral.
I think most, my point is, I think all toys should be gender neutral.
As opposed to a
doll being a girl's toy and a transformer being a boy's toy. I think they should both be gender neutral toys.
Action Man and Barbie, essentially it's a plastic toy.
Well, exactly.
One's male, one's female. I would actually like to know, a gender-neutral toy, is that a jigsaw?
Yeah, I guess so.
Maybe?
In which case,
we've got them already. We don't need a section for it.
No.
Marketing ploy.
Yeah, I mean, I think going back to the marketing side of things as well, I think there is also a fear of being cancelled, that if you're doing things in a particular way, if you're putting forward a toy as for boys or for girls, then you're likely to get this whole backlash, and that might sort of affect sales and a lot of any discussion you just saw then, the reaction to even hearing the word gender neutral is just sort of swept up in this whole sort of debate, which really might not have had anything to do with the original article, but it's very sensitive for people because of the whole, and I think that sort of speaks to a sort of a wider subject there. I think, like you say, on the subject of whether the toys are boy toys or girl toys, I think that really is kind of, what's the word, just sort of associating things with giving it a human quality, when really, like you say, they are just sort of plastic toys, which, you know, if a boy wants to play with it, a girl wants to play with it, that's...
Yeah, it shouldn't make a difference. Interesting. Thanks, guys.
Talk Radio Europe.
Hannah Murray on TRE in the afternoon.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Men Talk. With me in the studio today is Sammy Dennison, Neil Topliss and Andreas Gallardo. And before we move on to the trivial article, does it matter how you stack the dishwasher? I thought...
As long as I don't do it myself.
I thought we could expand on the subject we were just talking about, because... I learnt an awful lot from a podcast that I was listening to a few months ago, which explained in great detail. We were talking about gender neutral and all the things there, and I thought I learnt an awful lot, and I thought maybe I could pass that information on, not just to you guys, you may well know it all already, but to the listeners as well, to kind of understand the confusion between all the gender neutral type stuff. So if I'm getting anything wrong and you know any differently, please do correct me. So there is one, there's kind of separate divisions, if you like, with all of this, because there's so many confusing things. I'll try and keep it brief. So,
good afternoon and welcome to Hannah Talk, every Thursday between 5 and 6.
Yeah. Oh, no.
No, okay. Crack on, love.
So, we are born, okay? We are born male or female, okay?
Yes. Correct.
Well done.
Okay.
Well done. 2 points.
Well, yeah, 1 point. Then there is one in terms of how you feel as a person. So how you feel, how you think, like, so this is nothing to do with sexuality or body parts. This is the fact that I was born a woman and I feel like a woman as well. Oh, that's a song.
Hannah,
man,
you
I feel
like a woman too.
Thank you. Well, there you go. So, but then, and you can be a man and you feel like a man or whatever. But then obviously there are people who... just don't feel like they were born in the wrong body, basically. Just completely don't identify with being the person that they are. So they're born a woman, but they don't feel like a woman at all. Growing up for years and years and years, they feel like they are more a man, but clearly, physically, they're not. So that's where the whole he, she... they comes into it, which has come out recently. People wanting to identify as they. And that is people who not only don't feel like a woman, even though they are a woman, but they also maybe don't feel like a man. So therefore, they want to be identified as they. That's where that comes from, I believe. Sammy, do you agree with that?
Yeah, I think that's where it comes from. I think you're right. I think there comes a confusion when, I mean, I think there was an article I saw on Facebook when there was a, like you say, a non-binary person who'd gone missing, and the article read something like, they are looking, you know, they were last seen, and a lot of the comments were first confusion. I thought this was one person, you know, it seems, and people were saying, yes, well, now they is obviously referred to one person, but I think it's the context as well that it can be quite confusing. But also it takes a sort of, to actually spend your time trawling through all the internet to find these articles where you can express outrage, and a lot of these comments, I mean, it was a missing person at the end of the day, and the comments can sort of detract from the point. And
just to clarify, so we can come back on that, but so that is one thing. There is another thing which is to do with sexuality, whether you are straight, attracted to people of the opposite sex, whether you're gay, attracted to people of the same sex,
or
is there
both.
Another option, or both? So that's another thing, so completely separately from the him, she, they. The sexuality, different thing. And then the other thing is where to do with body parts, so where transgender comes into it. So if you're transitioning, so if you're born a woman but you want to be a man, you identify as a man, so you actually want to have operations to change body parts to become a man, then you are transgender. And again, that doesn't have anything necessarily to do with sexuality. You can be transgender, but it doesn't mean you're gay. And then there's another one, transsexual, which isn't to do with changing body parts, but it just means that you... No, this is... No, I think this is fascinating. Transsexual is what Eddie Izzard is. So he is...
Funny.
Really funny. Really,
not very
really
funny.
They. That's where it's confusing. Eddie Izzard would now refer to themselves as they, which is confusing just grammatically. So, but
but grammatically it's a weird thing to say they. It's hard to get your head around, isn't it? Does that make it clearer for you?
I don't know if I now feel like a dinosaur. Actually, no, I feel like a dinosaur. What does that make me? Is that
male or dinosaur? Or
I don't know, actually. If I'm a gender-neutral dinosaur...
Then you're a they.
Ah, I'm a diplodocus.
Oh, I can't get my head around it. Andreas.
The way you've presented it, there's the sexual side.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. I personally don't care what people do in their bedrooms.
Absolutely.
So they can do whatever they want. I don't care. What I've got a problem is with forcing to the language to adopt these different situations.
Mm-hmm.
Because the they is plural.
Yes.
And Eddie Izzard is one guy. You cannot use plural when you referred to him. Or her, whatever he prefers to. But I mean, that started with that. That doesn't sit well with me.
No,
I understand the language evolves, but this is forcing the language to evolve. The language evolves naturally.
Mm.
Just to give you a very simple example, Google, we use it now as a verb, a regular verb to that. We say, "I have Googled."
Googled it,
or you're going to Google it. Okay,
yeah.
That's a natural progression of the language. The they referring to a singular person, that's forcing the language
to change
without reason.
Hmm.
That's where I'm sitting.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I mean, is it a more and more of a common thing in the UK? We don't see it much here, to be honest.
I would say that it is sort of taking over. I think it started, was it Hollywood originally? That's where the sort of whole movement took over, and then more and more people are subscribing to that. There are different aspects. So, I mean, it is very complicated, and like, I mean, I think people are struggling just to sort of get the words out grammatically, just you're not meaning to offend anyone, but you are sort of like Andrea said, just trying to force this kind of terminology in there, which is very hard for people. And I think
the funny thing is that it's happening in Spain and with Spanish as well.
It is as well.
So it's happening in the Western world. They've come out now with you have the todos, todas, the masculine and the feminine, and now they're using todes for the gentle, for the neutral side. So now you have to say the three things when you're talking. Now, when I hear someone on TV saying that, it's just my ears don't sort of accept it. It's just
I've been in the last few months or so, I've been getting emails from professional people in the UK in publishing who I've been working with for years, and at the end of their email signature it says he, him, or her, she at the end of email signatures, and I wondered whether that's a personal choice for them or whether companies are actually asking people to do that or not.
It's a trend, isn't it? I think if you look a lot of Instagram profiles, you'll see preferred pronouns. So it'll be someone's Instagram profile and then she, her, and they're the preferred pronouns that you choose to go by. But again, I think it is sort of pandering to an extent, but you know, also you are, I mean, it comes down to are you really offending these people by doing so, and if so, is that important? You know, do you have a right to not be offended? And I think the issue with sort of forcing people, I think that sort of started in Canada. They made it compulsory. I don't think it was Dr. Jordan Peterson who rose to fame because he said, you know, if a transgender person came to me and said, I would prefer to be called this, will you do that? Then that's different to being sort of obligated to do it legally. There's a big difference there. So
absolutely.
Completely.
What was that about the dishwasher?
does it matter how you stack the dishwasher? This is a headline from the paper. Somebody says the way you stack says a lot about your personality. Someone else says, I like cutlery lined up like soldiers in regiments. I wondered how often you do stack the dishwasher, or whether women in your household stack the dishwashers. Has it ever been an argument, a topic of discussion? Shall we go back to transgender?
I think everyone should do a course on stacking the dishwasher. It's so important to stack it well. It's very, very important. You have to get, because you want to make sure that everything is clean. If you don't stack it well, some things can come out dirty. So stacking the dishwasher is an art form.
Wow.
And everyone should learn how to do it properly. And, you know,
when you first started talking, I thought you were completely joking, but now I realise you're totally serious.
I
really seriously.
I take it very seriously. It's one of the things that I study the plates when they come out closely.
Okay.
To make sure that they're all clean.
If one's not as clean, you wonder why.
You wonder why, and then you try a different technique. There's no rule book on it, so you have to make up your own rule book to make sure that it's
uncorrect.
But I've got it down to a T now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Neil, have you ever thought about it? Do your dishes come out clean?
Yeah, I've got a Bosch dishwasher that does the job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I bought
a dishwasher that cleans dishes when they go in. I don't have to stack it. It does the job efficiently. So I bought a German make because it works well.
Okay. So you've
then you don't have to worry about it. So you just lob it all in, just like a big stack of dishes, and it comes out all shiny.
Really?
Yeah, it's magic.
So, but seriously,
I tell you
don't
what,
have
the cleanest my dishes always are is when my mum's staying as well. I think that's magic too.
Mm. But is that because she stacks the dishwasher better? Or because she hand washes
them? No, it's because she probably does it by hand.
Okay. Have you ever had a dishwasher incident?
I think, I mean, in my house, my mum used to always make the dinner, and my dad would always stack the dishwasher, and it would always become a teachable moment. So I'd stack it incorrectly, and then he'd come in, it would be like a sort of...
this is how you do it.
Do you see there's more people like me out there?
I think it's quite common.
I am completely astounded. My learning curve has gone right up this afternoon.
See,
I've learned words and everything.
Yeah. Well, I sometimes, if I open, because I often empty the dishwasher and put things away, and often if things aren't clean, I'll know it's because my husband has put it in, like, not in the right placing.
So, we're still on the dishwasher, yeah?
We are still on the dishwasher, cool. Yeah. Okay. So I sometimes redo it. So before it gets clean, I kind of check it and sometimes take things out and put them in a better position. Or sometimes take them out and have to leave it to the next cycle because I know there isn't quite enough room to make it fit.
Are we still on dishwashers?
Yeah, okay, let's take a break.
TRE.radio. Hannah Murray. TRE in the afternoon.
We're back on. We're too busy chatting. You're listening to Men Talk with Sammy Dennison, Neil Topless and Andreas Gallardo. We've done with dishwashers. We're moving on to another subject. This is an interesting one. Teachers are being urged to stop saying the N-word, let's not say it on the radio, obviously, when reading literature in case it upsets pupils. So they're talking about, as an example, To Kill a Mockingbird, classic novel, which uses the N-word. Word in it, and teachers are being advised, you know, if they're studying it in schools, to not say that word because obviously now it is deemed to be very offensive. Do we think that makes perfect sense, or do we think that's madness?
Madness.
Yeah, you think it's madness. Yeah.
Cancel culture. I don't understand cancel culture. We were just doing this off air, but let me to finish my rant. If we completely ignore the history of the human race, we can make the same mistakes again. So, yes, I'm going beyond this question, but the reality is that if something was written in that context, it's like music, okay? Most of the music that's in the charts at the moment, especially the rap, has got swear in it.
Mm.
Nearly all of it. So what do we do? As with my other hat on, what do we do? Do we play that because the original artist intended it to be that way? Or do we edit it, in which case we're taking away the artistic content of that song or that piece of work? Same with the literature. If you don't want to have a piece of literature with the N-word in it, pick another book.
Mm.
It's not difficult. Don't use Kill a Mockingbird. Use Of Mice and Men.
Mm.
Use John Steinbeck. Use whatever you... Barbara Woodhouse's Guide to Golden Retrievers. I'm sure that's safe. They will be fine about it. Why have we got this... Again, I'm asking these questions. Why have we got to this point where people are addressing something that doesn't exist? If you don't want to teach a book with that word in it, don't use that book.
Mm.
Stop trying to get yourself in the media. Just leave it away. Just move away from the book and use the Beano. Mm. And that's it. Yeah, we can't cancel what's happened, because if we cancel stuff in our history, whether it be slave labour, would it be the Holocaust, whether it be, you know, the way Tyrannosaurus Rex is dealt with Brontosauri. You know, this is how we evolve. This is what it is. This is where language comes from. Why are we trying to cancel what happened, which means we can't learn from it? Mm. Yes, we all know that technically that is not a good word anymore.
Yeah.
But 20, 30, 40 years ago, that was in common context.
Yeah. Yeah.
Doesn't make us bad people. It's just that at the time it was in common context. But that's our history as human beings.
You have to learn the historical context or when the book or the record has been published, and that is important, that people read it, the original version, so they can understand how it's evolved from that point to where we are now. So to pure censorship just for that particular word, I think is a wrong thing. But you can extrapolate it to many things, like music. You know, I mean, she was just 17, you know what I mean, and that's the Beatles. What are you going to say? Well, she's underage, don't look at her that way.
Mm.
So it can get very silly. You have to get into the context when the book or the song was written, and then learn from how we have evolved until now.
Yeah.
Because if you don't learn, especially kids at schools, they need to learn the process of change, and without that, their learning process is defective.
Would you agree, Sammy?
Yeah, I think to sort of erase history, or to, I mean, it is just a snapshot of history, of the culture of the time, and to erase that would sort of, if anything, you learn about how bad it was through seeing it there. and I think it's sort of slightly different if it was to be produced now. So for example, I think David Walliams has had a book out recently that parts of it were cancelled. He had a character, I can't remember, it was a Chinese character, I can't remember the full name of it, but it was something Wang who was never wrong. That was right. That was his joke, and that's been cancelled, so that's been removed from sort of more recent publications of it. So I mean, because it's produced now, I can kind of, to an extent, I mean, that seems quite mild as a joke anyway, but I mean, you know, it's not tied up with the same things, but you know, I think especially historical books, you have to sort of look and say, well, this is really, like you say, a piece of history, and we can analyze it and say, you know, it shouldn't, you know, that's incorrect, but to delete it forces it underground. You know, it's better to be out in the open anyway.
I just wonder, I mean, depending on the age of the children that are being taught this book, I mean, kids copy stuff, and obviously if kids are saying, you know, this is a word that you mustn't use, they'll use it. So I can just imagine, I agree that it shouldn't be cancelled, and I guess I agree with the whole just pick another book. But if they were doing To Kill a Mockingbird because it was in the curriculum and they had no choice, for example, if the teacher is reading it out and using the N-word, I can just imagine the kids will all just start saying it, because if the teacher says, you know, yeah, obviously this was back in the day, this is what they use, and now we're not supposed to, they'll all start saying
you're
it.
You're automatically assuming that these children have no other life apart from that one moment with that teacher reading that one book. Because you're not, because as I said, if you go to the top 10, top 20, I bet you 8 out of the top 20 have at least that or a similar word in it.
Absolutely.
I bet you. And they're listening to that.
Yeah.
And they're listening to their own podcast. And I mean, please do not tell me that the influence of one singular teacher reading a historic piece of work is going to change them. It comes down to the parenting and how they value the education. And how, if you read a book from the 1800s and it is incorrect, you can see how much the human race is involved.
Yeah.
But if you cancel that book, you're just living in the present. Well, that's a waste of time, isn't it? You're not learning anything, as this gentleman's just said.
Yeah, good point. We better take
God, I was being sensible, sorry.
That's very good.
Sorry.
Hannah Murray, TRE in the afternoon.
Good afternoon. You're listening to the last part of Men Talk. With me in the studio today is Sammy Dennison, Neil Topliss and Andreas Gallardo. There's an article here which made me smile. Daniel Craig says he goes to gay bars to avoid fights at straight venues. He also said that gay bars were a good place to meet women. Go on.
Very true.
Oh, sorry. Yes.
Yeah, very true.
Yeah.
They're very friendly.
Yeah.
They're generally good fun, good atmosphere, and women tend to approach you thinking you're a non-threat.
Yeah.
It's a great way of meeting women.
Yes.
I totally agree with Daniel Craig.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember going thinking it would be a fun place to go. Absolutely. I remember going to a few gay clubs and things and absolutely loving it, having a great time, you know, great dancing and you know, great dancing while the guys having a great time, but finding it really difficult to find a straight man. So I didn't know that straight men went to gay bars.
I think more recently, yeah, I think people have realised that, and I think now straight men are going there with the, you know, to exploit that. So
yes,
but still the scale of it, I think, is I mean, Manchester's like the sort of cultural capital of the gay scene, and I mean, just apart from anything else, it's one of the sort of best areas anyway, because everything's so sort of enclosed and, you know, the best atmosphere, whereas other bits are sort of you know, you have to go in, it's a lot more pretentious, I would say, and people do sort of, you know, fight a bit more, so
yeah. Yeah.
I'd agree.
We have a caller on the line. Good afternoon, you're live on TRE.
Yeah, we don't seem to be able to get any reception at the moment. Oh. We are broadcasting.
Sorry, we're in the middle of a chat show. I thought you were going to give us like a brilliant opinion on what we're talking about.
Yeah, it's funny. We're just on the main road out of Fuengirola, and there's nothing on our radio.
Yeah, sorry. Okay. We are broadcasting. If you want to call through to the studio, to the office.
Unless he's got an opinion on gay clubs.
Yeah, I decided not to go there.
He's on his way to heaven. In both senses of the word, that's the
yes,
next question.
No, I know. Yeah, no, I got, yeah. Okay. Moving on to, before we go to heaven, would you dare to wear the new, so this, obviously, the question is aimed at women. I say obviously, or they, whoever you like. Would you dare to wear the new mini in midlife? So this is talking about really, really short skirts. And whether it's appropriate for middle-aged or older than middle-aged women.
I have to ask
not.
A silly question.
So I thought,
that picture, was that actually one of the things they're talking about? Because that is not a miniskirt.
Yeah, well, it's quite a way above the knee.
Do you remember Carol Decker?
Yeah.
That's a miniskirt.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
that's not a miniskirt. That's a mid-thigh
that much above
thing.
The knee. No.
Can I just explain to the listeners that Hannah is showing us a picture?
She's showing you a picture.
Two women in a miniskirt, yeah. So this is just the point where whether, as women get older, they should sort of cover up more, whether miniskirts are more for younger women, or whether there's anything wrong with wearing a miniskirt as you get older. That kind of thing. That's where we're going with this. I dare you.
I think they should wear wherever they feel comfortable with.
Yep.
A miniskirt, great. If they don't feel comfortable showing their legs because of their age or they're not in as good shape as they used to be and they want to cover them, then cover them. But if they want to show them, show them.
Mm. So it shouldn't matter. It's just
that goes for everyone, though.
There's a horrible expression in English, something to do with
mutton dressed as lamb.
Correct. I always hated that expression.
Yeah.
Because someone has made an effort and wants to look good and feels young and wears younger style clothes. Why should you criticise that? I think it's great.
I can give you another one of those. It's back beauty.
Oh, I've not heard that.
It's when you look at the back and it's amazing and then you get to the front and go, oh my God.
Oh no, that's terrible.
No, that one. I've got loads of these.
I thought you were nice guys.
Was it the other ones? Whitney dressed as Britney. I've got loads of them. Do you want to do half an hour on this?
No, I've not heard that either. That's brilliant. Sammy, did you say you've got some as well?
I mean, there's body like J-Lo, face like hell no. That's the only one I'm willing to
body like J-Lo, face like hell no.
What's the other one? Looks like Sunny, dressed like Cher. There's hundreds.
I've never heard any of these.
At the end of the day, you can wear what you want as long as you're not doing the Madonna thing and dressing completely inappropriate for someone who's, what is she now, 104?
No, she's like
103.
She's more than six. She's not 70, is she? But she's more than, she's 60 or just over 60.
One of her people needs to tell her that she needs to stop doing that. I mean, you know, dress appropriately.
She looks incredible, but again, in fairness.
Okay, whatever drugs you're taking, Hannah, I highly recommend them to your listeners.
You're focusing on a marketing machine. Madonna is a marketing machine.
Yeah.
She would do anything.
So she needs to sack her marketing people.
But she looks great. I mean, as Andreas was saying, if you've got the confidence and you feel good, then why not? She's not dressing like that to go to the supermarket.
I bet she does.
Well, yeah, maybe. Right, let's end.
Hannah thinks that Madonna goes to the supermarket, everyone. Cool,
yeah, good point. Okay, this I thought was a nice one to end on for various reasons. Five most common regrets. So this article reveals the most common regrets noted by carers who nurse people during their final hours. So it's a serious one. I thought I'd share them with you, first of all. They wish they had kept greater perspective. Human beings spend too much time worrying about things that will never happen. They wish they hadn't worried so much about what other people thought. We fail to take so many chances because we don't wish to be rejected or dislike being embarrassed, want to look cool. They wish they hadn't wasted so much time. They wish they had enjoyed the pilgrimage of life more. And they wish they had been more kind and loving. Very common for people to mistreat the humans they love the most. Any thoughts on the knee? I'm going to you, Neil. Because of what you do, you must hear people talking about this kind of thing.
Professional gigolo. Oh, the other hat. Oh, okay. I don't tend to get involved in people. Well, actually, that's not particularly true. I tend to meet people after the event, so most families necessarily talk about the family thing in terms of if they kind of excommunicated themselves, if that's the right term, estranged themselves. Can you estrange yourself? Yeah, I guess so. But, you know, separating from family, losing friends, that kind of thing. I think as you get older, generally, you learn to be more kind to people, just in general. And I think that some people don't learn that, but I don't think that they particularly regret it, because if they regretted it, they'd change it.
Mm.
It's like in life, if you genuinely want to change something, you will. If you don't want to change it, you won't. If you want to give up smoking, whatever.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's the obvious things, like I wish I hadn't walked this way today and got hit by a bus. And, you know, halfway down out of an aeroplane, I wish I bought a parachute. But, you know, again, I just think it's a bit of an article for an article, to be honest with you.
It's a page filler, that one, I think. I think in those circumstances, people should focus on what they have achieved and the good things that they have done, not what they haven't done, because they didn't have the time or the strength at the time to do something. I think in those moments, you have to focus on your real achievements and be positive about yourself. You don't want to start regretting just before you die. You have to sort of rejoice what you've done.
There has to be a point in your life when you turn around and go, okay, well, you either do the bucket list thing or just realise that you're not doing what you should be doing, and you get on and do that. And if you're choosing on your deathbed to do that, bit late.
Yeah, bit
horse
late.
Bolted.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I just wonder how much of... I would assume it would be quite common that at that stage in your life, right at the end, that everything would be about people. You know, you wouldn't be thinking, oh, I wish I sold that business 30 years ago, or I wish I bought those pair of trainers, or... Do you know what I mean?
I do know of a gentleman quite a while ago, therefore I feel I can talk about it, that literally went to 6 different churches. He was kind of hedging his bets. And the family actually said that he was hedging his bets just in case, kind of. He was like, you know.
Really?
He wasn't a religious guy up until his early 70s. And then all of a sudden he went, oh, I think I'll just check some of these guys out and just see if there's, you know. It's a bit like trying to get a gold ticket just to. But yeah, I think he was a member of 5 or 6 churches in his later years, just to kind of hedge his bets just in case. Just in case.
I love that. That's funny.
Yeah, I think it's that trend of when you're younger, a lot of people are much more idealistic, and they want to do all these great things, and then I suppose you get caught up with, you know, realistic ambitions, like, you know, you might want to buy a house, and then you're stuck into a mortgage, and you're stuck in a job, and sort of, I guess, at the end of it, you think, oh, well, I've sort of thrown it all away to follow these sort of responsible life achievements. But at the end of the day, you know, could it really have gone any other way if you'd been idealistic your whole life? Could you have really, you know, achieved all the other things that you wanted to achieve? So I think, you know, people are bound to regret, you know, things they haven't done. But, you know, I suppose you can't really do everything, and you've got to, like, you know, be happy with your lot, sort of thing again. And
yeah. I think it's sad that there's been so many stories over the years about people who have worked really, really hard throughout their whole lives, and then they've retired quite late and then died really soon after it, and actually hadn't done half the things that they wanted to do because their whole lives had been about work. And I think that's awful, unless they wanted their whole lives to be about work.
And a lot of people don't even get to retirement. Yeah, and,
well, no.
And then the question is, where does the money go for them? They had put away for retirement. Where did the government put that? Sorry.
Yeah. But no, I've always thought that's a really sad kind of concept. I imagine most people think, I mean, whether how realistic this is, I don't know, but I imagine most people throughout their younger years think, oh, when I'm retired, I'm going to do this. I'm going to travel around the world, and I'm going to, you know, have all these ideas about being retired and maybe having some money at the end of it and having a nice life and doing whatever. And I just think it's really sad when people aren't able to do that.
No, some people don't make it. Some people, and that can be 20, 30, 40, 50, whatever years
old.
Well,
yeah.
People just don't make it. And you know, and for, yet again, for that reason, if you don't want to be in a position in your life, it's as complicated as you make it. If you don't want to be there, don't be there. Your life is just... God, I sound more realistic now. God, me. Genuinely, you can make your life as simple as... Is it a duck or is it not a duck? Yes, no questions. You can look at anything and say, is it a duck or is it not a duck?
Yeah.
And your life can be like that. It's as simple as you make it. If you want it to be simple, you can make it simple. Stop making it complicated. If you want to do that, do it. There's a way to do everything.
Bizarrely, the end of Women Talk last week was really, really similar, talking about having
ducks.
Choices. No, not quite ducks, in the same way. But talking about having choices and choosing how you feel about things. You know, choosing to be sad, choosing to be happy, choosing to stay in a marriage, choosing to stay in a job, a friendship or whatever. So many things realistically come down to choice, exactly what you said. And a lot of the time you're kind of blaming other people, blaming situations, or they don't make me happy, my job doesn't make me happy, this. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Instead of taking control of the situation, going, okay, well, I need to make a change so I am happy.
But I think a lot of it comes with age. I think that as you get older, you offload things that you don't need, or you start not doing things you don't want to do. When you're a kid, you're a more sort of... it's more likely that you do things...
You can be cajoled into stuff a lot easier when you haven't got life experience.
When you mentioned, you know, get a mortgage and buy a house and all these things, you know, when you get older, you can offload a lot of the material things that they're not so important anymore. And then you start valuing more your time and how you feel within yourself and everything else. So I think that it's a natural progression that age brings you.
And maybe go into sort of space travel or something like that.
Let's go back to space travel.
Oh, the dishwasher. Can we go
the dishwasher? So who needs to load the dishwasher?
Do you wonder whether that was ever a deathbed worry? I wish I'd learned to stack the dishwasher.
Yes. Or I forgot to stack the dishwasher. Yeah. I forgot to unload the dishwasher.
Did I feed the cat? Did I turn the gas off?
Yeah.
And did I stick the dishwasher?
Yeah. Oh. Well, thank you. Thank you so much. It's been lovely having you all in the studio today. We've had Sammy Day Dennison. Thank you, Sammy.
Thank you very much.
We've had Neil Topless. Thank you, Neil.
Thank you very much.
And we've had Andreas Gallardo. Thank you, Andreas.
Hannah, a pleasure as always.
It's lovely to see you all. So that's the end of the show for me today and the end of my week.
You've been listening to a TRE production. If you've enjoyed this programme, there'll be another episode waiting for you next week, right here on this platform, where you can also access our extensive back catalogue of shows and interviews. For more information on our live programming, social media channels and apps, and how to contact Talk Radio Europe, please visit tre.radio.